Well, I got it on Facebook if you need it.
I'm putting it on a CD, so all I have to do is edit it.
Okay, whatever.
Dead.
Somebody was in sight to see if this thing was going.
All dead.
Mystery.
Media player to move to an item, press all dead. Repeat call mini player more up home. Zero audio shuffle cold space. Zero skip play button to activate. Skip forward, enter, enter, enter. Skip forward to 29 minutes 26 seconds. Space. All 10. 00:00:00 skip pause button skip the previous shuffle call space zero play button repeat colon off button to activate pulse skip forward 30 enter 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 skip forward space. All dead.
Okay, me too. Goodbye.
00 point skip pause skip back previous but shuffle colon space. Skip play skip forward repeat colon off button skip forward 30s enter 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 skip forward enter skip forward to 34 minutes space.
Now I'm about to introduce to you a man that I've known probably most of his life. I've spent 15 years with his father in the back seat of his car till the rest of those that were with us passed on to glory. And
all dead.
I got the front seat for a while.
Zero, skip back to previous shuffle colon off button to activate press space bar alt followed by H. Previous button to shuffle space. Zero, skip back 10 seconds button enter enter enter. Skip backward to 34 minutes 27 seconds. 00:00:00 time elapsed. Let's skip back 10 seconds button to activate press space bar alt play button to space pause button to activate press space bar alt followed by P.
A man that I've known probably most of his life. 15 years with his father in the back seat of his car till the rest of those that were with us passed on to glory, and I got the front seat for a while. What happened? He went home to glory. Not the man that's here with us, his father. and he was, as far as a brother in the Lord, he was dynamite. Okay. But we became very good friends as well. We beat one another up once in a while. That goes along with it. And now, I've been blessed to be in the same ministry with his son for the last 10 years, as he took over the reins when his father went home to glory, and he is a duplicate of everything that his father represented to me in the way a Christian should live and interact with those that God has given him the benefit of being a help to, as well as a teacher and a friend, and he's a little. Like his father too, we both have that little sense of how we'd like to mess with people at times, not to hurt them, but to just kind of get them to think and to use the abilities God has given them so that they can be effective as well. And I'm sure that you're going to find that invited me to participate in that ministry now for quite a few years. Which one of us is getting over, I don't know. But in any case, he's teaches at Monte School for School of Ministry and Theology, and has been doing that for, I guess, over 40 years now. But he's growing in his relationship with the Lord just like the rest of us. And he's got a humble spirit and one that, you know, is willing to reach out and give not only his time and his efforts to helping others to grow in their relationship, but he's had to deal with his own personal problems. His wife is suffering with ALS right now. But it's not something that has, you know, turned him into somebody who's saying, "Lord, why me?" No, he knows that our hands and our path are in God's hands, and that he will guide us through this journey each step of the way. And I've was pleased to ask him if he would be our teacher for the next three sessions in the morning, and he agreed, and I said, thank God for it, because I'm sure you're going to be blessed as well. And I introduce to you Dr. Byron Jameson.
A Noel, sir. She got here in time to go on the tour, didn't she?
Good to be here. Many may not know that we've been following NCCV for several years now. And been uplifting in prayer, been helping out, checking out different contracts and different things for Brother Enoch, making sure things line up right. Just to try to make sure that the avenue and the experience is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to see certain people here. Good to see Sister Betty. Good to see Sister Diane. Where's Sister Diane? Okay, right there.
Might have got a little closer to the mic.
A little closer to the mic.
I've come to share something with you, and Brother Enoch shared with you a couple of things about me. I've seen the hand of God move throughout my life. Many people don't know my testimony, many people don't know the experiences I've had. And possibly on Thursday, I might share that with you. Coming in with miracle after miracle after miracle. I can literally say I'm a standing miracle before you. So when I see, as he introduced or shared with you about my wife going through what she's going through, she's in the hands of God. Today and tomorrow. Whatever may be, it shall be. We're not fatalists. We're not. We just live our lives one day at a time for 43 years. And a tremendous woman of God, tremendous one who has faith, one who has love, and one who can put up with it. Those who know me know I'm a trickster. I'm a little mischievous. Brother Enoch will not eat food around me because he has tasted cut up peppers in his food. I got it honestly. My father was a mischievous. But I've come not just to talk about me, I've come to talk about the Lord and about our relationship with Him. Amen. So for the next three times that I'm here, this time and the next two, I'm not coming to Mark because you guys are going up to Satan's Sound.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And want to share with you something of what makes a Christian a Christian. See, we've ended up going into areas of the theme, how to share Christ, the opportunity and the importance to share Christ with others. Talk about the Lord. It's time. The time is now that we need to reach out and see souls saved.
Amen.
I believe we're in the last days.
Amen.
And being in the last days, this is not time for just to sit down and relax. This is not the time to let others do for us. We need to get up and do what we can do.
Right.
But I believe that we're limited by a lot of the things that we have set before us, or because we've not settled things within us. So we discount our capabilities. I believe Sister Betty shared this morning the scripture that I was going to read. Philippians 4:4
and
3:7. I'm going to read that for you. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How many here know what it's like to have that peace of God? How many know what it's like to have the areas of where you can rejoice no matter what goes on? See, some people try, and others get to the point of where, I'm not so certain I can rejoice going through this. Well, I've studied a little bit with this, and I found out in order to rejoice, you have to have a mindset that's disciplined.
Amen.
And that mindset can't be religious, because if it's a religious mindset, you limit God by your understanding. And Proverbs 3 talks about that we're not supposed to lean on our own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path.
Yes.
In order to rejoice in the Lord, you have to have a heart for God. But you can't have a heart for God if it's filled with all different hurts, scars, hatred, prejudice, unforgiveness. Now, most people say, I don't have those things. Let me put it this way. Most people won't let other people know they have those things.
Yes.
But in ministry, that's pretty much what we're dealing with, the mindset and the heart. We get into terms, oh, let the Spirit have its way. Let the Spirit lead and guide us. And I'm a firm believer that the Holy Spirit has ordered the steps of our walk.
Amen.
But I also believe that some of us have to be led by His hand to take those steps. You may say, but Pastor Byron, why are we going into this? Because a lot of things happen that you're not going to be a good witness for Him if you're not living for Him. You're not going to be a good witness for Him if your heart is not gentle. If it's not soft. If it's not healed, and if it's not cleansed. Well, Sister Betty also talked about the peace of God. And I love that scripture, Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I'm God. Sometimes you can't manufacture the peace. Sometimes you can't walk in the peace. You just have to be still and let God be God. And God will order your steps. Well, I want to talk today on certain categories of how we can be a good Christian. You know, there is nowhere in the scriptures that talk about good Christian. Did you know that? People say, I want to be a good Christian. What is a good Christian? Find it in Scripture. You can't find it. You know why? You don't become a good Christian, or you don't become a Christian by your doing. You become a Christian by his doing. How many are glad that he reached down to you?
Yeah, I know.
I want to talk in the next few days on certain topics: forgiveness, trust, and intimacy. I want to deal with forgiveness today. How many people need to forgive somebody? Oh, they raised their
hand. That's why you have the topic.
What is forgiveness? Because when we start to look at that, we start to think, well, do we need to forgive others? Do we need forgiving? What is it that we have problems? Because if you're holding unforgiveness, I've got news for you. You're living in sin. If you hold on against another person, you're not doing what Christ has already told us to do. Freely forgive for you've been forgiven. So what is forgiveness? Just saying, I forgive you? Well, a lot of people say, I forgive you. Let's pretend it never happened. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is the act of releasing resentment or anger towards someone who has wronged you. Essentially letting go of negative feelings and the desire for revenge. Wow, that's not easy. Because I grew up with a father that was teaching biblical principles, but when someone pushed me, I wanted to push back. When somebody got me, I wanted to get them more. Anyone know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
We used to say paybacks are bad. But it's a conscious, deliberate decision to move past the hurt and the emotional pain caused by an offense. It's an area in which when you start to look and start to see if we're to rejoice in the Lord, you have that hurt, you have to, oh God, it hurts. I'll praise you, but it hurts. How many know what I'm talking about? How many know what I'm talking about when God chose to pray for those who wrongfully and spitefully abuse you? That doesn't make sense. Humanly. Forgiveness is not the same as forgetting. I'll forgive you and I'll forget the event. No, if you've done something to me, I'm not forgetting it. I'm not holding it against you. I'll take the power out of that thought. But I'll tell you even something even greater. God never forgets. The things that we've done wrong, we're forgiven. Turn to someone and say, I'm forgiven. I'm free. I've been cleansed. But God has not forgotten.
God has not forgotten.
He just promised not to bring it back up. Isn't that awesome? Once he forgave us, he just promised not to bring it back up. And that's what we got to do. Once we forgive someone, we just got to stop bringing it back up. We just got to let it be. Realize that that event happened, but grace is sufficient. I have learned in my life that when people do things wrong, when people do things against you, in fact, I used to cry out to God when I'd see people, they come. I haven't seen them for 10 years, and all of a sudden they come, and I know they want something.
Right.
The only time they come is when they want something.
Right.
And when they come, I'm like, oh God, why? Every time they come, they stir up trouble. And I would complain to God, why are you bringing them here? There's so many other places they could go. I mean, we're not the only church, Lord. And God would whisper in my spirit and say, this is for your benefit. I've brought them here so that you can grow a little more in grace.
Amen.
So I stopped asking God, why do you bring the ones that push my buttons? And I just start to say, God, thank you for the button pushing, because that's character building. And I'm growing in Christ. And the more buttons that get pushed, that's why Brother Enoch and I get along great. You know, I felt so good coming here today. I decided I'd drive into 69th Street. I live in Drexel Hill, and I didn't want to pay the city parking fees. So I parked in 69th Street and took the L. And I rode in on the L, and I had a nice talk with a woman on the L about the Lord, and she's like, well, I know about the Lord, but I don't really go to church. And I said, well, you need to get saved, because you don't go to church. Either you are the church or you're not. Then I got off the L and I started walking down the street, and here's a elderly guy that walked past me. He goes, excuse me. And I, by those who can't see me, I'm dressed in a suit.
Yeah, he has a suit
on. I look good.
With a tie.
You're just going to have to take my opinion. But the elderly gentleman says, what firm do you operate a lawyer at? I said, I'm a minister. Oh. Many churches and that, they start side businesses. You know, there are some that get into selling different products and everything. They get a business so that they can run things. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to start a law firm. I've been before judges. I've stood before judges. I've seen grace and mercy before judges, standing on behalf of other people. I've stood in front of judges and told the judge the person deserves jail. Give it to him. And the person didn't bring me for me to say that. But that was truth. And the judge looked at me, I said, but judge, have mercy. He deserves it to have mercy. And the judge would see the integrity of my judgment, that he deserves it. But you can show mercy. And every time I have seen the judge, if you counsel him, I'll let him go. Now don't get my number. Forgiveness. I'm gonna label it this way. When you forgive someone and you truly forgive someone, you trust God enough to handle the situation. It's as simple as that. But it's not easy to do. And I'm going to share three levels of forgiveness that most people go through, and I'm going to share with you why they're not really forgiving. The first one is the isolation forgiveness. Isolation forgiveness is this. I'll forgive you as long as I never have to see you. As long as our paths don't cross again, you're free and I'm free. And the problem with that is, all you have to do is have someone mention your name and the hair on the back of your neck rises. You're not forgiven. You're just absent. You know, I've had, as I said, on maybe Thursday, I'll share a little bit about my testimony, but I've had an accident 10 years ago where I had brain fog. And it's easy for me, out of sight, out of memory. How many know what I'm talking about? If you forget about it, it's just as though it never existed. I would put something in the refrigerator and forget it's there because I don't go to the refrigerator. Then when I go back to the refrigerator, I'm like, oh, I forgot about that. I wish I didn't forget about it because it was good when it was really in. Thank God I don't forget my wife's name. Her name is Becky, for those who want to know. But the areas that you look at and you start to see isolation, as long as we don't have to walk with it, as long as it's in the past, we think that it's already forgiven. A lot of times we still carry those hurts, we still carry those scars, we still carry those aughts, and they block us from trusting. Did you know that? If you're not able to free yourself from the hurt, if you're not able to free yourself from the judgment, you then start to think as though you have the right to hold judgment. Turn to someone and say, you really don't.
You really don't.
I've been told that I teach something that some people have never heard it before. And I can't believe that's true. But I teach judging for people, not against. We're not allowed to judge against people. We are authorized and charged to judge for them.
I will.
You hear that? And until we learn the difference, we have to judge against the sin, but judge for the sinner. We have to see a sinner being able to be redeemable. But you have to judge against the sinner. Don't accept the sin as being acceptable. That's where the church is going wrong today. That we've compromised the values, that we're seeing churches allowing certain things coming in and become worldly and becoming areas of where it's compromised. Well, isolation. I forgive you as long as I don't have to see you anymore. The second level of forgiveness is limited forgiveness. Anyone know what limited forgiveness is about? That's the area in which you get to, I'll forgive you, but it can never be like it was before. We can never get to that point again because you've hurt me, you've disappointed me, you violated certain things. So I'll forgive you, but... And that but is a conjunction which erases the I forgive you. Anytime that you have a but, it's changing directions. I forgive you, but... In other words, I'd like to forgive you, but we can't have the same relationship anymore. We can't ever get to that intimacy again because you're hurt. And that's limited, and that's the area that you'll say you'll get past that area, but you won't trust them, truly trust them. You'll give them little levels, but won't truly trust them. I can't trust you. So I'll forgive you, but I can't trust you. That's almost like an association. When you have an association with somebody, you say, I get along with you, but it's limited because we only see each other for limited periods of time. So all I got to do is function in that little period of time. That's a very shallow relationship. And the problems with that is opportunity will come to remind you of the event. No matter what the odd is, you'll remember at some point. The third type of forgiveness is total forgiveness. Total forgiveness. But what is total forgiveness? I forgive you, and I will allow you the opportunity to regain my trust. I forgive you, and I will allow you the opportunity to regain my trust. In other words, trust is never automatically given. If it is, you're naive. Sister Betty said if you trusted what she said that one time, she has land in Tinicum. And then for those that are not familiar, she said that's where the airport is. But the area that we have to forgive is so that we can have a clean heart, so that we can build a relationship again. If somebody's audited us, we need to be able to give them the opportunity not just to seek forgiveness, not just to get right, but to also be able to see the hand of God in the picture to put it back to peace together. And I'll share something with you so profound. The grace of God makes that bond relationship so much greater when total forgiveness is there. You can look at the odd and be thankful that God brought you through. You can look at the odd with each other and see that you're too close. You're close with one another, and God has reunited. See, this is what God did when he sent his son to Calvary. This is our message that we're trying to share with people out there. None of us deserve it. Which of you and which of me deserve salvation? Which of us deserve forgiveness of sin? Which of us deserve a holy God in the incarnate state, Jesus Christ, dying on Calvary to pay the atonement for us? Oh, but we deserve it if we say we're sorry, right? We deserve it if we confess our sin, right? No. The scriptures are very clear with this. Paul talks about there's nothing in us that's worthy except he who dwells in us. Our bodies are dirty, filthy rags. How many people have struggled with your dirty, filthy rags? There's two things that you and I struggle with. The flesh, which is carnality. The mindset, which is discipline of our thoughts of how we reason things through. When's the last time you told God why you sinned? Why? Well, there are a lot of people that do that. I had a student the other day come to me and say, I knew I was going to do something that I shouldn't do, so I asked God to forgive me ahead of time. And I had to look at him and I said, what was the greater sin? Following through with what you knew you shouldn't do? Or asking God to look the other way and make it okay? Because anytime you give God an excuse, a reason for why you do it, it's an attempt to try to make a wrong acceptable. And God never said to do that. He said, confess your sin. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, Pastor, why do we need to deal with unforgiveness and forgiveness? Why do we need to deal with that? Because the area is, the church is full of folks that are religious, but they're standoffish. They love each other, but they've hurt each other. And they've never gotten it right. Now some people, I'm sorry, what?
We're still sinners.
Yeah, still sinners, saved by grace. So what do we do? What's our default? Sin. So if we don't get up with a mindset to serve Him, with a mindset to stay on the Word of God, with a mindset to yield not to temptation, I'll give you a little bit of an example. Anyone here ever been on a diet? Why is it when you're on a diet, you want that which you're not allowed to have?
Yeah.
And most people do not find contentment in anything less.
Right.
Hear what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So they're going to sacrifice, they're going to suffer to do without what they're not supposed to have in the first place. They're going to suffer it instead of seeing it as a blessing. I just got to have it. I got to buy it. I got to get it now. I got to do this. I got to do that. I have to be seen. I have to be all this. In the ministry, I teach a lot of ministers, and in ministry, I see it where right now there's a movement going on around the world in the United States, and I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but it's called Elevation Movement, where ministers are supposed to be elevated in the pulpit. They're supposed to be seen. They're supposed to reach a certain level, and they're supposed to be honored by all the congregation. I don't see that in Scripture.
No.
In fact, the Scripture that I see is, humble yourself in the sight of God and man, and He'll lift you up. See, serving somebody, you got to get on their level to serve them. Not lord over them. Oh, but Pastor Byron, you know, there's so many people that they'll run over you, they'll do their own thing. Listen, I've been pastoring for over 40 years. I have not forced anyone to do anything. I have enough trouble with me. I really do. I'd love to be able to stand here and say, I've got all the T's crossed and all the I's dotted and I never misbehave. I've been telling the saints in the church my behavior when I was a kid. They can't believe how mischievous I was. How about it, Sister Jackie? But I was the angel. I had two brothers. One went home to glory, the other one's still living. But I was such a tormentor. And I love the Lord. I got saved at an early age, and I love the Lord, and I love ministry, and I entered into ministry early, but I was a holy terror at home. I mean, I would try. I tell people, my mother raved early. I was the cause. Ways that we do things, and thank God I'm not that way today. Amen. I'm still mischievous. But I'm mischievous as a gifting from God. Now, what do I mean by that? I speak life when people
Amen.
Don't have
faith. Amen.
And I don't do it by a religious mode. I do it by mischievousness so that people can shake themselves out of it and see reality. So I'll cause different things to go on. Brother Enoch didn't tell you all the different things that I used to do. I won't tell you what Sister Vivian told me. I do know that I don't know if I can, this is not held confident, so I think I can say it. I do know there are two areas Sister Vivian is not going. In the basement or on the roof. So Enoch, that scripture, it's better for a man to live up on the roof. Has forsaken both. We just think as long as we can get status quo, as long as we don't look as bad as the other people. In fact, there are ministers out there that are trashing other ministers. They stand up instead of preaching the gospel, they'll trash other people.
Mm-hmm.
My thinking is you're wasting the opportunity for salvation. You're wasting the opportunity for forgiveness and for all these opportunities for growth by tearing other ministers down. You don't need to do that. As a community, to see this NCCB right here in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, and they added in sisterly affection. I don't know where they got that. But I got to be honest with you. When I go down south, I feel more love down there. I said there's not love here because I'll stir it up. But I've learned the things about forgiveness. When you hold forgiveness, it forms roots of bitterness. When you hold unforgiveness, it forms roots of bitterness. And the roots of bitterness become the areas of where it now prefaces or biases your image of other people. You start not to trust them. And I'm not saying that we should naively trust everybody and everything, but when you can't trust anybody because you've been hurt, that's a very, very hurtful state to be in. And for the body of Christ, we ought to be, at least, this should be sacred. This should be safe ground. that we can be able to rely upon one another, that we can be able to rely the prayers that went forth today, the sharing that went forth today, the areas I saw, I was watching on Facebook Live. some of the things yesterday, and I was like, this is fantastic, this is what we need, this is what we have to do, come together, not to be religious, not to be high and mighty, but be able to have life, be able to have communion, be able to have fellowship, be able to get on one another's nerves. Be able to mess up Brother Enoch's equipment. By the way, I was the one that messed it up. On purpose, I was trying to get things done. I was the one that messed it up. And he was gracious and merciful enough to say it was Pastor Byer. I called him and said, I turned things on, did things, and he was like, don't touch anything. He didn't tell me not to touch it. He said, don't let anyone touch it. I said, too late. See, compassion's good for the soul. Wires hooked up to it. But I was the one that locked it.
Tell you that there was a contract on my
It was made in Haiti. They intercepted the contract of UN, and they came to me. And they said, as long as you stay at the mission, we can protect you. But if you leave that mission, we can't go with you. I knew my ministry was up on that mountain outside the mission. And I said, I gotta go. I didn't come to Haiti to stay in a mission. I have to go. See, God, people will say, that's reason for you to stay still, Pastor Bunner, don't go. If God called you to go, he didn't change his mind, and he's not asking you to change your mind. This is one of the problems that churches have today, and people have today. They second guess God. God will lead them into something, and as soon as they start to walk in it, it's not convenient, they say, oops, let me change my mind. No, the inconvenience is the test.
Pardon? Actually,
I wasn't.
I said my hand. Hey, Brother Byron.
Yes.
You know, I know this might be a little out of context, but, you know, we can walk our own paths, right? We are given the choice to make in life. Whether to come to God or disregard God as a whole. We can act like the masters of our own ship or follow in his footsteps.
Okay,
and lead by faith, whatever that looks like for anybody else. But what it looks like for me is blindness.
Okay.
And blindness happened, and I found a true love and joy of God.
Amen.
And I'm following in his word, his footsteps, his ministry to reach others.
So, what other, if I may cut it, what other people may count as a, oh, let's pity him, you see as an intimate step.
Exactly.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
People look at my wife with ALS. Doctors have given her no hope. She's got ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease with the vulgar onset. They didn't diagnose it for a whole year. And this is the expedited one. This is the one that caused her much trouble and much difficulty. The secretions that she has, she'll fill up a suction container in one day with secretions. I'm not saying that for you to pity her. What I'm doing is trying to let you see suffering is among the believers.
That's right.
Yet her faith is not shook. She still sees God as sovereign. And she still sees God as good. And she still sees God in every day a blessing. Now people would say, but how do you see it, Pastor Byron? For 43 years, I've lived my life with my wife one day at a time. Because I know tomorrow's not promised.
Exactly.
So I have to make today count. And I'm here to tell you I'm making today count.
Amen.
People say, but what happens if something happens tomorrow? God's in
control. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to share one last thing and then I'm going to sit down. Because I'm not really long-winded. In which God chooses how to minister. See, healing is promised to the church. But healing takes place one of three ways. And this is not preached in churches a lot.
No,
the first one is the miracle. And the miracle of healing is when someone needs a healing, a touch from God, and they get touched and they're healed, they're restored. The second aspect is recovery. They shall lay hands upon the sick, anoint them with oil, pray the prayer of faith, and they shall recover. Any sin that they have will be forgiven them. It's recovery. And now, how many here have ever had a cold and got over it? You recovered?
Yeah.
The third type you will not hear in many churches. But this is as sure as the first two also. And that's death. For the believer, our journey down here, when it ends, is our entrance into glory.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
Do you realize that?
Yes.
Now, anyone here been saved for more than a year?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone have the hope of glory?
Yes.
That one day you'll see him?
Yes.
That's going to happen one of two ways. Either you go by the grave or you go in the rapture. Those are the two ways. There's another way that you're going to see him too. Not you, because we're saved. But there's going to be people who are going to see him at the great white throne judgment too.
Oh, yeah.
And those people are not going to be happy to see him. Because that's the judgment of the second death. See, for us, it's already ordained.
Amen.
We have an eternal life.
Amen.
I'm walking in it.
Yes.
I trust it.
Yes.
I don't know what the plan has tomorrow.
Nope. Nope.
But I know he's in control. And I trust him. So, Becky has that same understanding. If you follow Becky, you'll see. She puts sharing on Facebook Live. She shares the rawness of what she goes through. But then she also shares her faith in Christ and how the Lord is still there. The Lord is still keeping her. The Lord is blessing her. I told her through the challenges that she's going through, she has been used of God to teach me true ministry.
Amen.
That's true.
Amen.
So, a lot, see, by nature, we don't like to suffer. By nature, we don't like to go through trouble. By nature, we don't like to have to go through debt and all the bad things that we set ourselves up for. But you never learn how to be a good steward until you settle yourself from being out of debt. You're not born a good steward. Did you know that?
Yep.
You're not born with a good testimony. You have to go through some things. You have to taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that... What is it? No. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. If you trust him, where he leads me,
I will go.
I
will follow.
What if it's in the pits of hell? Ron Canole said, if you gotta go through hell, don't stop. Keep going. Because that's not your destiny. If you gotta go through suffering, if you gotta go through hardship, if you gotta deal with Enoch. This is a trying of your faith. Listen, Father, we thank you for our opportunity here to be able just to have a fellowship, to be able to see the truth in some of the things that you brought us in with the 66 books. Father, we pray that you might just minister to us. This week, we're not here just for show and fashion. We're not here just to It's good to have a good time, but Father, we really desire to be able to orchestrate and be able to see some more fruitfulness. Even to be able to line ourselves up that we might be effective witnesses for you. And Father, even let it happen, even begin in this hotel. That when we go walking around, that we might be telling other people, that we might even tell the people at the desk, and might tell the other people in the restaurants or whatever, or wherever we're going, just to bless them. Not that we have to get religious, but that we don't have to speak the things of the world. We can speak the things of God. And God, I ask you that you might train us and you might discipline us in those ways. For Lord, those are the only ways that people are going to see a difference between the church and the world. And Father, I pray that you might allow that to be so. Bless each one here. We've already heard the plea for salvation, and we've already heard the prayer for such, and Lord, we lift that up right now. And if anyone here does not know you, that they might come speaking to one of the leaders, one of the ministers here, that they might be able to be led. Even someone else that just knows and can lead them in. Bless us, Father. We don't want to leave anyone out. And Father, we also want to have a good time here. We want to have an enjoyable time here. So Father, help us to discipline ourselves during this week to take a challenge. First of all, to forgive. But secondly, not to complain. Father, if we don't complain, we'll be in the position that we might be able to rejoice. Father, let that be so. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.